This is Inside Isla Vista, and we're at KCSB 91.9 FM here in Santa Barbara, and I'm Dick Flax. I'm one of the monthly hosts of Inside Isla Vista, and I'm very grateful that you're a listener tonight. This program airs on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and in Spanish language on the final Wednesday of the month. Tonight we're going to be talking with Ethan Bertrand, who just elected about 6 weeks ago to the incoming board of the Isla Vista Community Service District. It's a great privilege and pleasure to have him join us at the mic here on Inside Isla Vista. Welcome, Ethan.
Thank you so much, Dick. I'm glad to be here today.
And it's actually, you have, a really remarkable story, because you came to Isla Vista not in the conventional fashion as a UCSB student, but how?
Yeah, so when I was a senior in high school back in 2014, I was looking to where I wanted to continue my education. And for me, that was back on the East Coast, at home, in New Jersey. And in the spring of 2014, my family took a vacation out to the Santa Barbara area. And my twin brother, he decided that he definitely wanted to move to California as a surfer. And we checked out Santa Barbara and Isla Vista and fell in love with it. And it was a quick decision for me to choose to abandon my original plan and move out to Isla Vista. So in a few more months, we packed our bags, and by August of 2014, we were out here. And at that time, some things changed. In between our visiting Isla Vista and moving to Isla Vista, there was the tragedy. And I remember watching on CNN at home in New Jersey one morning and just in total disbelief.
That must have been shocking right there, just to see that on CNN.
Yeah, couldn't believe it. This little small town that we visited in California had now had a tragic event occur. So months later, we moved out to Isla Vista, and I was looking for ways to get involved. And I was attending a local church where I met Congresswoman Lois Capps and got involved with her campaign for re-election, which was how I got connected with local organizers such as Darcel Elliott, Cameron Shunk, and Jonathan Abood, and started working with them on developing Isla Vista self-governance. At that time, we were looking into various different methods of governance in a community-based process that explored potentials for cityhood, creation of a municipal advisory council, and ultimately the creation of a community services district through Assembly Bill 3.
So you were really right there at the beginning of the exploration of how to get some self-government for Isla Vista. Part of the investigation and research on that, as well as eventually the organizing of it. Yeah, that's, and you came here at a strategically unhappy moment in the history of IV, but an important for rebuilding the community in a new way, and that's what you were in on. Well, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
It's very lucky for Isla Vista that you showed up in that almost accidental way. And lucky for you in a way that you had this opportunity opening up for you. And you became a student at City College.
Yes, and I went on to lead in their associated students through the position of the Isla Vista Community Representative, which I created along with a colleague of mine, realizing that there was little overlap between City College student government and Isla Vista relations. I also went on in August of 2015 to join the Isla Vista Recreation and Park District Board as a director.
So part of what happened after the tragedy was this surge, you might say, of engagement. And so you're riding that surge. I don't know if you're a surfer as well as you
are. I am. Okay. Not as much.
So great. So, and then you participated very actively, I assume, in the organizing behind the process of voting in the CSD.
Yes.
And those ballot measures, as well as other political campaigns, right, in 2016.
Yes, I was involved with electing Salud Carbajal to U.S. Congress, uh-huh. electing Joan Hartman to 3rd District Supervisor, uh-huh. passing Measure E, and fighting hard to pass Measure F.
Right. So, and by the way, you told me you will be entering UCSB this coming fall as a political science major. What a coincidence that you're taking political science. You seem to be a natural student of political science. This is great.
Oh,
so Okay, so 6 weeks ago, the board sat down and took its chairs, and you were one of those, and they elected you president of the board. That's a year-long term, is that right?
Yes.
Were you a little shocked that you got to be picked? Or?
You know, I was very honored. Yeah. I really respect my colleagues on the board. Mm-hmm. I really value the diversity of our board and experience and perspective. Mm-hmm. And for me to be chosen as the leader of the board in this first crucial year for formation was really an honor. And I've really enjoyed serving in this capacity thus far. It certainly had its challenges, as it's something that's new for all of us in our new roles as directors and officers of the district. But thus far, it's been an incredible experience.
So how much have you actually learned about the history of Isla Vista over decades now, half a century, of trying to have some kind of community governance? You probably have looked into that quite a bit.
Yes, I've learned a good deal. And one of the largest sources of information I've explored was Carmen Lodice's book.
Yes. Yeah, he was called the mayor of Isla Vista for a while. He was the most fanatic devotee of the idea of self-government, or of cityhood. For a long while, he didn't think any other path would be valid. But I think he lent his endorsement to the community service process. That was good. The reason I brought that up is because I've never lived in Isla Vista, but I've been around all these years, and what you alluded to, it's difficult. There's a long, internally contentious history in Isla Vista. People not always agreeing with each other and fighting over things and so forth. It's almost a miracle that this came to be, and I attribute that to work by people like yourself being good organizers of getting people together, even if they were at odds with each other.
Absolutely. And also Assemblymember Doss Williams looking for a way to move past obstacles that had historically been in place with LAFCO's opposition. Right. It took a special bill to make this happen, and we're truly lucky that it went through.
So as I understand it, the meeting, you've had how many meetings? Three or four or five now?
We've had three meetings, and tonight, Tuesday, will be our fourth meeting.
Tuesday is the night of when we're recording this program for Wednesday broadcast. So those have been long meetings, right?
They have, and I anticipated that they would be long first meetings because as our board of directors is under the Brown Act, we haven't been able to communicate outside of board meetings about district business since we were elected the night of November 8th. So what that meant is we've had all these months go by and so many things pop up in between that we really hadn't been able to discuss. So right now we have just so much to discuss to fit into our two monthly meetings. Right. We also have committee meetings that really work out a lot of the details. But our board meetings have been long because there's a lot to say. But I definitely appreciate the need for us to have meetings that go smoothly and that take place in an efficient manner to respect the public participation in the meetings.
So your role is presiding over those meetings. What else is your role involved?
So as president, I'm also responsible for carrying out a lot of decisions of the board that would usually be delegated to a general manager, but in the absence have been delegated to the board president. I've served as a point of contact for many different initiatives, and also just working to the best of my ability to represent the CSD in as many community discussions and organizations as
possible. So it's sort of a full-time job.
It's turned into something like that.
So you alluded to the fact just now that there is no paid staff because the Measure F, the tax measure that was that accompanies the establishment of the district, didn't get the necessary two-thirds vote. What, 64% voted for it or something like that?
Just under 62%.
62%.
Needing 66. But what we are lucky to have is a $200,000 pledge from the University of California, Santa Barbara annually for the first 7 years of the district. And that's enough money for us to get the ball rolling. and look forward to 2018 when we can go back to the ballot and place another tax.
Right. And as I understand it, one of the, I don't know how firm this is, a proposal at least to have some of that university funding go for internship.
Well, I'm pleased to tell you that actually over the past few days, we've implemented our internship program.
Okay.
I actually had my first meeting with the intern that I'll be working with this past morning. And we're really lucky. We have three university interns. All of them are upperclassmen and have extensive experience working in different areas of government and politics. Mm-hmm. These interns have had previous experience in the offices of assembly members, council members, and members of Congress. And it's really been great to meet all of them, and I'm excited for the work we have ahead with them.
And do you get any other kind of staff help?
The 3rd District Supervisor's Office has been very helpful and a resource. But this will be the only staff help at this point that's reporting to directors. Uh-huh. But it is important to remember that they are employees of the university, just working in coordination with specific directors.
Mm-hmm. They don't report to anyone at the university, do they? Or they?
Well, their official employment supervisor is the university.
I see.
But so they're essentially just working in coordination with us.
That's a delicate issue, as I understand it. There's been some tension around.
A little bit, but I think everyone's really excited to work with them.
So I don't want to let the time run out before we discuss some of the key issues that facing. This is Inside Isla Vista, and we're at KCSB, in case you forgot that. 91.9 on the dial, but also online. Maybe people are listening all over the world, quite possibly. I'm Dick Flax, talking to Ethan Bertrand, president of the IV Community Service District Board. So another tragedy happened in Isla Vista, or sort of traumatic event, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, unfortunately, on April 9th, Sunday night, at 5:30 p.m., there was a young man playing basketball at Estero Park with two other individuals. And after they were done playing basketball, the two other men began to use derogatory terms for his sexual orientation and asked him to leave the court. After he refused to leave the court, they continued to harass him based on his sexual orientation, and one of the men went on to assault him, resulting in the victim falling unconscious and breaking his jaw. And it's just really a tragic event that we have a hate crime, which is being classified as taking place in our community.
So it's officially a hate crime.
Yes, that's how the sheriff's office is investigating it.
But it provides a kind of important test of what your authority, that is you, the district board, vis-a-vis the police.
Yes, and one thing, so there was this incident, but we're seeing many isolated incidents in Isla Vista right now that do show unsafe events happening. Just this past Easter Sunday at night, there was a resident robbed at gunpoint on Del Playa. At our first board meeting, March 7th, we had a sexual assault survivor come and deliver one of our first public comments of the district, speaking to the importance of us working on public safety in Isla Vista. And all of these events really just point to what we need to keep in the front of our mind, which is this was a district created to increase public safety. And tonight at our meeting, we're actually discussing our police protection power for the first time.
And where do you think that's headed?
Well, I'm excited to hear what my colleagues on the board have to say. With the power, it gives us the ability to contract for additional police protection services from the County of Santa Barbara or the University of California. So to augment the services that are already in place, what I view as the right way to move forward is to see if we can extend the community service officer program into Isla Vista, where we have non-sworn personnel working to keep residents safe, provide escorts late at night, and be the eyes and ears of local law enforcement. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, I'd be very happy.
So in the time we have left, let's mention at least some of the other high priority issues that either you personally or your sense of the board as a whole are looking at.
Sure. So another service that we're authorized to provide by Assembly Bill 3 is to fund and operate a municipal advisory council. Mm-hmm. And this is something that many of my colleagues have been very interested in, as well as the Office of Third District Supervisor Joan Hartman. What this allows is for us to create a representative body in Isla Vista, definitely comprised of directors, but also potentially bringing in more community members to serve in an official advisory capacity for decisions being made by the County of Santa Barbara. And in its implementation in other counties around the state of California, there's been some very impressive models where, in order for anything to happen within the unincorporated area, before it can be voted on at the Board of Supervisors, it needs to be presented to the Municipal Advisory Council. And I think that the Municipal Advisory Council can also serve at least some of the function of a police collaborative board, which has been sought after by many residents, where we have our local representatives working very closely with local law enforcement to discuss policing issues and public safety concerns. So that's one service that I'm really excited to continue to investigate in the coming months.
Would the university also have to abide by a similar relationship to the municipal advisor, or is that not a legally binding thing for the university?
So municipal advisory councils in nature are for the county decision-making right. process. That's a great question. There have been municipal advisory councils that have intergovernmental relations that stretch beyond just counties, but as far as their purpose, they are to advise the county and county agencies.
So it should be said that the university has a representative on the board, not one of the electeds, but actually Associate Vice Chancellor George Thurlow, who usually partners with me at this microphone, he's now on the board. And yeah. Who's the county rep?
Bob Geis, the uh-huh. former auditor controller of Santa Barbara County. He's done a fantastic job, both of them.
Uh-huh. So he's a good source of expertise on what finance and stuff like that.
Finance and the initial formation tasks of a special okay. district.
Very good. So, okay, so there's bound to be tensions with all between county, university, and the municipal advisory council or the district itself over years. But the fact that we're all sitting on one board is a hopeful potential arena for ironing some of this stuff out, right?
Absolutely.
So what else do you want to mention as crucial questions?
Yeah, so also this summer will be the opening of the Isla Vista Community Center. Uh-huh. And one of our powers as a district is to operate and maintain community facilities. Mm-hmm. And what I see, our role is to provide support and programming for the facility, mm-hmm. working in coordination with the county and the Isla Vista Recreation and Park District. I see potentially our interns may be able to help coordinate programming mm-hmm. for the space. At this time, I'm not sure what other support we could provide, but I really want to hear from the Friends of the Isla Vista Community Center and the county's ad hoc group about any ideas that they have. But definitely looking forward to that.
Okay, I mean, that deserves a whole separate half hour at least of this, of this program to figure out what that's going to look like. Any other issues? What about, I'm very interested in housing questions, and I wonder where that's come up yet, or if it has.
Well, myself and Board Secretary Brandt, we've met with the Isla Vista Tenants Union, uh-huh. not representing the CSD, but meeting as individual directors. And we've been very interested in what they've had to say. Definitely the power for tenant mediation has been something that I've been very interested in over the past few years. Uh-huh. And I look forward to us seeing what we can do to build upon the existing services. I'm not sure if the university's $200,000 can go towards that because the university currently provides tenant mediation services for UCSB students. But I'm interested in seeing what we can do. I'm interested in seeing the relationship that we can officially build between the CSD and the Isla Vista Tenants Union. And other stakeholders to make it a better place to rent. And we've had tenants come and speak at our public comment about issues that they've had in their housing. And we've also had other residents come and speak about various issues. So it's been great that us as a government agency, as a representative body, have been able to facilitate discussions about issues that previously had not been able to take place in the community?
I mean, there have been two or three big things over decades that about housing that I'm aware of. One is there was a time when we thought maybe the county would station a code enforcement official in Isla Vista to proactively enforce the code. That doesn't exist at all, right? And I'm wondering if that's even been thought of or discussed.
So that's a latent power of the district, which means that it is a power available to community services districts, but we would have to petition the local agency formation commission to get it. I do think it's an important power, one for us to look at when we do have more funding.
Right.
But definitely holding or setting a higher standard for living arrangements in Isla Vista.
And making people fully aware of their rights and of what the code is. If I assume there are still complaints about the quality of housing in
Absolutely.
Isla Vista.
And we've been happy to see, like, even though we haven't been able to take action as a board when tenants have come to us, there have been representatives from the county there who have given them their cards, representatives from the university who have given them their card. So it's been a great public forum for connecting with existing resources.
All right. Well, that opens up something I hadn't thought of asking about, but it's important. So when you have these meetings, who's in the audience? Some of these people representing these entities, is that right?
Sure, yeah. So at our meetings, we've had generally Supervisor Hartman and her...
Personally comes.
Yes.
And her staff.
Gina Fisher, who's her Isla Vista representative. Representatives, both... elected representatives and staff members of Associated Students come to our meetings pretty regularly. Many individuals who have been involved in the process leading to the creation of the district have been present. And then also quite a few new students who are interested in local government, who are feeling motivated after what happened on a national scale in November to get involved civically, who are coming to these meetings asking great questions and really participating in the discussions.
That is a crucial point, because the history shows that the engagement of particularly students, young residents of Isla Vista, ebbs and flows. And so this surge can be followed by, you know, a real falling off. People leave, they're not replaced, and so forth. You're thinking about this as a future issue, right? Or are you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We always need to be concerned about leadership development in Isla Vista and making sure people are ready to serve.
Well, you're a good example. These other leaders developed you.
Absolutely. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, and presumably changed you a lot in terms of your goals.
And I owe it to the next person.
That's right. So... we still have a little time left. And so I was talking about housing. I didn't quite finish what my thoughts on that to ask. There is an idea that if the university took over management of private residences, replacing the existing property management firms, I don't know if that's something you've heard about, but after the 2014 troubles, that became an important talking point for a while among people that interested me a lot. And in a way, that's beyond the powers of the community service district. But if it might be met with a lot of resistance if the university tried to do that.
And I definitely support the university providing more resources for their students living in Isla Vista and taking a more active role in housing their students in Isla Vista, but I do also feel strongly about making sure that people who are not university students, whether they're Santa Barbara City College students, whether they're families, whether they're other longtime residents who are living in Isla Vista, I feel strongly that they're still able to live independent of the university, to live as a good neighbor, but not to live in an environment that's controlled by the university.
Yeah, and it's a contradiction in the function of Isla Vista as a community. Is it basically a student dormitory community for UCSB, or, you know, you're indicating there's wider population that historically has lived there and that you would like to see continue? Why would you like to see continue? It adds diversity to what might otherwise be too homogeneous a world? Is that
absolutely? And thus far, I've been on the other side. Yeah. I haven't been a University of California student yet, so I've seen a great community of UCSB students, but also other people who live in Isla Vista, and I appreciate the difference in perspectives that bringing so many people together creates. But then I also appreciate the great challenge that we have in local governance of providing services for such a diverse group of people.
So more power to you. That's to you personally and to the Service District Board, hopefully struggling creatively, because it's actually a great opportunity for creative governance.
Absolutely.
People thought that 40 years ago in IB. There was a lot of belief decades ago that this could be like a new opportunity for people to figure out how to govern a town because of the countercultural values that were so central at that time. And also, and the young people, the very fact that it was young people doing it, taking over, and that it was new. So I hope you have that spirit.
Absolutely.
And don't lose it, because you could lose it given the tensions or given the bureaucratic bogging down and so forth. But I really like your enthusiastic attitude.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you're smiling all the time, which is something I hope to see 6 months from now.
I do too.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight here on Inside Isla Vista. Dick Flax, Professor Emeritus of Sociology, UCSB, enjoying very much the opportunity to talk to Ethan Bertrand, the president of the Isla Vista Community Service District Board. Our theme music, Siesta by Jazzer.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. Catch up on past episodes at SoundCloud. Just search KCSB FM or Inside Isla Vista. You can catch Dick Flax's long-running KCSB show, Culture of Protest, Thursday nights at 6 here on 91.9 FM KCSB.